Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 17th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Reverend Beth Habhager with the Walk Off Debt event. We're going to talk about that, of course, being sponsored by Grace. We'll talk more about Grace and the Walk Off Debt with Beth in just a little bit. Right now, one of our favorite conversations we look forward to every month, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer in with us right now. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you. How you been?
I've been well, and you?
Good, good. Thanks for being here. We, of course, want to say a good shout-out to our friends Taylor and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys being here. Thanks so much for the time. Great shirt, by the way. You look great. You always look good. Appreciate you guys being here, and appreciate being able to put this on your YouTube page, which we encourage you to subscribe to. Just type in your YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to the page. Support the great work that they are doing. I want to start off with work, actually, with you, sir. Right away, I wanted to touch on this. You guys have some new hours at City Hall. Wanted to let everybody know about that.
That's correct. It's Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4:30, and then on Friday, it's 8 to noon. And people have asked, and so people only get paid for the hours they work. Most people are putting in extra time, or they're still working 8 to 4:30 even on Friday. But Friday afternoons have been notoriously slow, and other area communities have gone to these type of hours. And so we're trying it for 6 months, and we'll see how it goes and see what happens with the public. But because we are a service orientation, but I think it's pointless, and I think it's also good for recruiting employees and employee retention, having that ability to be done at noon. And I've kind of taken a notice now and watching what even other area businesses are doing. And you know, I've seen businesses close at 2 p.m. on on Fridays, and so it's just kind of maybe the world we're starting to live in here, and thought we'd give it a shot.
We've seen restaurants and similar absolutely things do this. Yeah. Bars often do this. Very few bars are open 24, you know, 7 in the morning till 2 at night or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, and it kind of adds to the world we're growing, we're adapting to. You have a lot more people working from home now. You have a lot of these things. We're kind of refiguring out how to run business.
Absolutely, and there are the naysayers out there, and they can be the naysayers, but I don't think they're more in the minority. And we're going to give it a shot and see how it works out, and if it's a problem or if there's issues, then we'll go back to the other hours. But the communities around us have done this, just continued on, and has been no issue.
Wouldn't it be nice to have at least one thing that you do that doesn't get met with, like, 50% of the audience likes it, 50% doesn't like it? It'd be probably nice to just have one thing. Like, you would think of all things, this would be one of those, but no,
there's always, and we do so much online now, and there's so much you can do just on our website that we don't find the traffic that we had pre-COVID, because we've adapted through COVID, and, you know, when we are closed at City Hall, like everybody has in other industries, and so now people feel they don't need to come to City Hall and do business.
And certainly the role of government, the role of city officials and everything is to serve the people, to help people and all that. But you got to have people to be able to do it. And I think a really important comment that you had there in response was retaining workers, benefiting workers, mental health towards workers. That stuff has to come first, really, in a lot of ways. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. You can have all the great rules in place if you don't have the employees to run it. Doesn't matter.
Exactly, and you see that across the country here and across all industries, is that there is a worker shortage or a desire to work shortage, and you know, we have to be adaptive if we want to still provide services and hire employees, and because it's highly competitive now.
We recently had the grand opening and ribbon cutting for the RASC, Rapids Area Sports Center. How did that go?
Actually, I was playing ball with my son in another community. He plays on the freshman team for the high school baseball team. So we were traveling that day. We were over actually in Eau Claire while Eau Claire was over here. And so I got to see the pictures on Facebook, but I missed the actual grand opening.
It did sound like it went really well. And I more so bring it up, one, because I credit you for that. We need to do more of that in life. the ribbon cutting is going to be okay without the mayor there. Oh, we can have a ribbon cutting with it. That was more important. I think that was more important what you were doing. And I commend you for that, sir, because I honestly don't hear enough of that in people, especially in positions like yourself. But more so to the point, the complex itself is up. It's running. This is a huge thing for our community.
Absolutely.
I know that when the Rafters came to town, River Kings came to town, that brought up a big story. You know, having the water park, a big story. This should be right at that same level with these things. The economic impact it can have has already been noted, and let alone what's going forward.
Yeah, so, you know, we've obviously played there too, but there have been nights that other communities have come and played their games here too because their fields weren't ready. And so there's been some variety of baseball there. I actually was there when UW-Platteville and UWSP were playing. They had a game on Sunday and a game on Monday. And a team stayed overnight here. The Platteville team stayed in town. So, you know, there's a benefit there. And, you know, the people that put that time and effort into make that complex and make that come to fruition, and all the donations and the legacies partnership in there, it's amazing. And then you would couple that with the community and the referendums they've supported for the school improvements. You know, we've got a new pool and other, you know, science and new entrances, and you know, we've done some really great investments into our, you know, whether it be schools and sports complexes and yeah, it's phenomenal, and it's only going to benefit everybody.
Yeah, and certainly the kids, and I think all of us growing up would have loved to have had that playing to play in as kids and stuff. We can still do it as adults, but you know what I mean, like going to school there or something like that. But that's certainly important, a part of this. But that the opportunities that this presents, you know, I look at the Rafters, and when the Rafters do such a great job, like a lot of ballparks in America, when they're not having games, bring a concert in there. Have Chris Lee come in there and perform or something like that. Like, that's a smart move. It's a similar thing with this complex. When it's not being used by high schoolers or any of these kind of things, we have our national baseball tournament there in Wisconsin or something like that. Like, some of these Wisconsin events can be held here. It's not as if we're not built for this. We do it every summer with the water ski tournament. Like, right. We've been doing this for decades around here, so we're perfectly built for this.
Yeah, we adapt. And even this summer, you know, with the Legion program here, they play there. And so they're holding a state tournament there this summer.
Right.
And
right.
So it's going to be a lot of baseball there. And then on top of it, you add the Red Hawks in there. You
know,
the next age group above Legion there. And, you know, they provide a lot of opportunities for people to continue playing baseball and for the community to continue to support that baseball program.
We got to get some of the Red Hawks on the air with us. We haven't gotten to talk to anybody yet or anything. Yeah. I really want to get them on the air. We don't get to talk about them nearly enough.
Yeah, so there's plenty of baseball, and it's a phenomenal facility, concession stands, and it's a lot of fun being there.
It's great use of space. You know, I study this a lot, and when it comes to rural communities and how they're adapting and how they handle everything from, you know, population to commerce to infrastructure, all these things. And then the pandemic happens, and that changes almost all those numbers. And we're seeing now that stuff is kind of like evening out, and we're kind of getting back to whatever the new normal is and stuff. And one of the things that I came across in the research and finding out things was what a lot of places are doing with old buildings, abandoned buildings. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can put a business in there. So what they're doing with a lot of these is putting pickleball tournaments or courts into these buildings, like abandoned malls and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
For a number of years, we were looking at that Shopko building and thinking, oh, what are we going to do with it? What can we do with it? You and your staff have done an amazing job filling that and doing, you know, taking care of that. Mm-hmm. So not so much looking at that, but looking at the rest of town here, do you think that might be an option for us here in Rapids or just in general?
Yeah, as in pickleball? So
pickleball or anything really like that that might be a little bit different than just a business going into a former business.
Yeah, so the new CEO over at the YMCA there, he's a very strong, I don't know if he's been on your radio yet, but he's a great guy. And so, he's a very avid pickleball guy. And so I know he has desires and hopes for some expansion in the pickleball area here. And it's finding that right use for a building. You know, I just desperately think we need a sporting goods store here. And that's what we've been trying for and working with developers on, is trying to attract a sporting goods store here in town. And it's There are buildings for use, but there's also, you know, there's not a large amount of space open yet either. So I do know of some businesses that are looking for sites to build to be able to open another business here, and this, you know, so they're working on that, and you know, they try, you know, some try to, you know, fit an existing building. You know, there was an existing building that I can't announce yet, but it has been sold, and it's going to be a new type of restaurant here that we don't have in town, and the person or the business that was in there is looking to build a new building somewhere else. And so, cool. You know, there's a lot of activity going on yet. Yeah. And so this summer and this fall, we'll see some more changes coming up, which will be exciting, and some new opportunities in town.
Very, very exciting. Especially when we consider how important this is nowadays. I'll come back to sports for a second because I can't help myself. It's one of those things where it doesn't always come down to, oh, we want these kids are going to become professional athletes, right, or we're going to bring in a professional sports team or something like that. We're talking money. We're talking economics here when we're talking about sports. And one of the easiest ways to increase your economic portfolio in a town is having sports involved. Usually that's the local high school teams and everything. We are spoiled here where we have, you mentioned the Red Hawks, we have the River Kings, we have the Rafters, we have these kind of things. So we have an advantage that other cities don't have to be able to take advantage of that commerce. I mentioned the water ski tournament every year we have in town here. Those kind of things, are we looking to have more of that in town, or are we welcoming more of that, especially with the sports complex being opened up and everything?
Absolutely, you know, and so, yeah, we've been, I know, a matter of fact, last night there was a youth baseball tournament, it was kind of round robin last night, held at the Quadplex with some of the Risa kids. I believe Point, Marshfield, and Rapids were here, and they're playing a round robin tournament, and yeah, so I think, you know, all levels of age groups are taking advantage and be able to use those facilities there and hopefully fill it up. And like you said, there is an economic impact, you know, so Platteville coming to town, staying in town, eating food, staying in our hotels and motels, you know, that has a direct economic impact. And if we can hold more tournaments here, and I think, you know, we have the benefit of, you know, being centrally located. And so we can kind of use some of that. I believe the state 8-man football tournament was last fall here on the new turf complex for the football field. And, you know, I hope to see more WIA events here because of our central location, and now that we have turf that you can attract those type of events.
Yeah, we really do have the location thing that works out for us in a lot of ways. There's most any city in this state is almost an hour or 2 hours away at the most. Yep. So that really goes a long way, I would think. Now that we have these facilities to really host this kind of stuff, that takes it to another level. And there's no rural community that is not struggling with keeping people or losing people. And we've talked about this a number of times of how important it is, and how I think that we're a little better set in this department than most communities are around the country. But you can't just sit on your laurels. You have to do things to keep that up and everything. And that brings me to the dog park, which is a part of the purpose of the dog park, is not just to take care of our local residents and people who already live here, but those families that are looking at moving to Rapids and they're checking out schools and then they're checking out jobs and everything. And then they see we have a dog park. And that's obviously one of the biggest ways to bring people to your community. So how is the dog park going? I hear that we have good news about that coming up hopefully by the end of summer and that kind of thing.
So, yeah, well, matter of fact, I was just talking about it. We need to get it addressed. So if you want to put in your Google or your maps, you can find where to go. So we were talking about that yesterday, and Taylor has done a bunch of amazing drone footage.
Yes.
So we're talking about trying to maybe develop – we need to develop a website for the dog park and our park and rec, and be able to put a lot of these links in there and in the footage. And as Taylor builds a grader from beginning to end kind of presentation, I'm looking forward to that, because it's been amazing what he's got done so far. And the fencing is up. I've walked around the fence line. We figure the inside of the dog park will eventually become a walking path, a woodchip walking path at this point, and maybe asphalt down the road so you can push a stroller or a wheelchair, and they can let the dogs just run around. But we haven't figured out the distance yet for a mile. So the fencing is up, and American Fence did a great job there.
Yes.
And they do amazing work they do a lot of work around the community. And so now we're just working on pulverizing the soil and cleaning up. There's an extraordinary, a very large amount of wood chips there, just from all the grinding going on. And we need to get the, we're working on getting the center area because it's kind of wide open. Yeah. We want to get that seeded and the grass established because otherwise I think it'll become just a big mud pit. And nobody wants to, you know, have a muddy dog. And
the dogs may want it. Yeah, the dogs don't mind getting muddy, but we don't want that. We don't
want
that.
We're going to have hoses set up so everybody can clean their dogs off before they leave. But, yeah, the small dog park is pretty much, it doesn't need much. It was already pretty good. But we locked the gates because we need to do work in there and get equipment. And there have been people, which it's okay. We're fine with it. But we noticed a number of dog prints in there when we're walking around, which is really great to see that people are excited and looking forward to using it because, I don't know, walking around, it's huge. It really is a very large space that is going to be able to accommodate a lot of people and dogs and just letting the dogs go crazy.
It's an exciting thing for our community. We're looking forward to it. I got to imagine, too, for you and your staff, it's exciting when these things get to this point. You have the idea. You have the thought. You're hoping the community will back you on it. You get to this point where it's, we're past shovels in the ground and all that stuff. It's got to feel pretty good. I don't know how many wins you guys get, you and your staff. I hope a lot of them. And I think you deserve a lot of them. And I know that the community feels that way. But we tend to be our own harshest critic. And I don't know if you necessarily always get those wins. So I hope you guys are enjoying that.
I'm excited about it. You know, it's something I've wanted all along here. And I thought it was very important for the community. And I need to reiterate once again that, you know, the construction of this, all the fencing, the money allocated for it currently, it was all done through room tax dollars. So it was our visitors to our community that stayed in our hotel, motels, VROBs and all that, and the Airbnbs that pay room tax dollars goes into a fund, and a chunk of that goes to our park and rec department. So we use that money to create this. So the visitors for our community have provided our community with a dog park and not necessarily our local tax dollars.
We're fortunate. All of our representatives, our officials in this area all believe in transparency, and it's one of the reasons why I love talking with you is the transparency. But what I really enjoy is the breakdowns you give us like that right there. That may not seem like huge information, but I guarantee there's a bunch of people out there that did not know that, that are that feel that much better about the dog park because of it.
Yeah, because they're always like, oh, you use tax dollars, and well, you get all that groaning. But yeah, this was very important in our park and rec commission that oversees that money, and you know that money, they allocated and saw the value in having a dog park. And you know, and we haven't gotten to it yet, but if we talk about the zoo and the prairie dog exhibit over there, you know, that was donated money to do that by a family, Teskeys. They donated many hundreds of thousands of dollars to create new exhibits. Like last year, we got the kangaroo cage. And then this year, there's a really neat prairie dog exhibit that's going to be there, and with a tube where you can pop up in the middle of the kids' can.
Awesome.
And so, there's some excitement, but that was also done with money that was donated and constructed with that donated money.
When it comes to a town like ours, we for a long time have had a retirement population, a senior population, and also struggling with trying to keep young people in or bring young people in. We've talked with other mayors about this. I'm curious of how you handle that balance, how you approach things when it comes to that. Is it something that you even concern yourself with? Because in a lot of ways, I don't think that it would necessarily have to even be on your radar, but I am curious if it is.
You know, it is what it is, what we have for a population. But, you know, we're continuously trying. You know, there's young professionals in the community. And, you know, we're trying to work with developers to create more downtown housing. Mm-hmm. And housing is a huge factor. I've got a meeting coming up with a group of people about housing and affordable housing. And, you know, that still seems to be a thing we're struggling with in the community. But I think if, you know, people want a vibrant downtown, and I think it's going to take people living downtown and then seeing what will grow up after it. And, you know, so we've been meeting and working and talking with developers about trying to create something like that and getting them to see the value in developing something in this area that, financially it's worthwhile for them, but it'd be good for the community in the long run. And we're constantly talking about, we've had some meetings internally and with council on potentially creating a new subdivision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we don't have You know, most of new house construction is infill housing and vacant lots and things, but we don't have an area that's just set up for a new subdivision because we are kind of landlocked, but we do have an area that we can create a subdivision in. And, you know, so we're talking about that and, you know, some other housing opportunities. But, it's definitely, you know, something on our mind. And then obviously if you can get jobs that attract young professionals too, that's very important.
Yeah. It helps that I think our surrounding areas are, we're all kind of in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And so you have, it's not uncommon to have somebody live here, work somewhere else, and vice versa and that. So that goes well. And it's, I think Plover in general is a good example of this. I know when we first moved here, my family and I, Plover, you drove through Plover. That was about it. Yeah. Now, there's a billion businesses and different things over there and all that and stuff. And it always had seemed to me to be a cross-through town, and now it's a destination. Now it's a stop. You go and you stop there and stuff. Rapids has had that for a long time, being a destination. Mm-hmm. But we've become now a location. We've become more of a place where people want to live, want to stay, want to put roots in and everything.
Correct. Yeah, and you're correct. And so, yeah, like you said, Plover, you know, I remember passing through there many times when I was young. But now it's a common place to go shopping because that's just become that retail hub. And these retailers aren't locating in every community now because we're so okay to travel. And it's okay to travel. And so they seem to put these retail hubs in now. And that's where you go to. And it's hard to attract them away from that hub.
Yeah. I wanted to wrap up on this, sir. Recently, you had a proclamation about National Police Week. This proclamation kicked off for President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officer Memorial Day. And now we have, along with that, National Police Week that kicked off on May 14th this week. First, nicely done. Appreciate this. Certainly, our community appreciates it. Why was it important to you to have this?
Well, May is very popular Proclamation Month, but Police Week is also very important to me because my best friend was shot and killed in the line of duty. So, you know, law enforcement is very near and dear to me, and it always will be, even though I've long been out. I think I've been out of it more than I've been in it in my adult life. So, you know, that's kind of a part of my past and my history. But, you know, there are people even in Wisconsin Rapids that have lost a family member in the line of duty. And, you know, and so it's important to recognize and kind of acknowledge that this is going on, especially nowadays. You know, we've lost several officers already this year in Wisconsin, which is tragic. And, I think it's important to remember and acknowledge that.
Very much. Yeah. I wanted you to, because I know it means something a little different to you than it does to some of us and everything. So I wanted to thank you for that, Shane. I appreciate it. I am sorry for your loss, for our community, our state's losses, you know, whenever it comes to these, any officer we lose.
Senseless.
Yeah, it really is. And it's something that, you know, I love Westerns. I love watching Westerns. It's one of my favorite things. I don't want to live in one. I have no interest in living in one. We need our police officers. We need them to feel safe in their jobs and to be able to do the jobs that we, you know, ask them to do.
Yeah, and also it's hard to recruit and attract because it's not a highly desired field to go in at this current time. And so the schools can only educate and train X number of people that are interested, and everybody's fighting across the state, fighting for those people and trying to pick the best one. And usually, you know, they all end up, all those recruits end up getting a job somewhere for the most part. But yeah, there are communities here that are dozens of officers short, and people are working nonstop, and that's only going to cause more people to leave law enforcement and less people wanting to get into it. And I think our lives would be interesting if we called 911 and it takes a couple hours for an officer to get there.
I know what that's like.
Yeah,
in my old neighborhood in the projects, that's exactly what would happen. And you don't want that, everybody. You do not want that.
No, I think that'd be very bad for a community, and
it
could be a reality, though.
We are in a dangerous area of society where certainly law enforcement, politics, teaching, we have jobs that young people are looking at and they're seeing society just tear down. Mm-hmm. All the negative news and the negative this, negative that. And who wants to do a job like that?
There's plenty of other options.
Right. It's important that we have both sides of things. I'm not saying we don't have accountability, obviously. Absolutely. We need that in society for all these jobs as well. But we also have to show both sides of it. And I will say, if I was a young officer and I was a young recruit and I was looking at cities, one city that would stand out to me is one investing in a new jail. I would think that that would stand out to me. So again, coming back to what we were talking about before about some of the other things that are new to this area or invested in, that we have invested in this community, that is another investment that is certainly important for the safety of our officers and the clients in there, but also bringing in people. I would think that that's another advantage to that.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate here, you know, with our current sheriff and our police department here in town. We had a new police chief sworn in last night, and you know, we've always had a really great relationship between community and police and community, and it hasn't been very, you know, extremely adversarial. You have your incidences, but generally overall, I consider us very lucky, and we're attracting great officers here. We're actually, I like to use the word stealing. We're stealing other officers from other departments, and because there's a reason why they're coming here, and they're coming to Central Wisconsin, coming to RPD and to the Sheriff's Department and the areas. And I think we're fortunate here compared to other areas. And you know, I hope it remains that way.
Shane, talked about a lot today. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we've discussed, how can they reach you?
Probably it's easiest to call my office, 715-421-8202 is my direct line, or you can go online and get our email address, and we definitely respond pretty quickly to that also.
Greatly appreciate the time, as always. It's always a fun conversation hanging out with you. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, James. Thank you.
Big thank you to Taylor and all of our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Again, be sure to subscribe to their YouTube page. Keep up to date on all the great work that they're doing over there. Again, just type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and like their page. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine. Good conversation at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.